Before we open God's word, let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we do come before thee in thankfulness for the many blessings thou hast showered upon us throughout this day, to be present with those of like precious faith and to open up thy word is truly a joy, and we give thee thanks for this privilege. We pray that thou would watch over us and give us thy guidance and instruction through thy holy word as we would turn our attention, our thoughts, and our prayers unto thee for thy help and thy instruction. Lead us in the way that is pleasing unto thee, that our lives may be conformed unto thee and thy truth. We pray for thy rich blessing upon each and every heart, from the youngest to the oldest, for we know that thou canst provide. We do ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, I desire that we would turn together to a passage of Scripture contained in Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter number 11. I'd like to begin with God's help with verse 32. And just read through verse 2 of chapter 12. Romans 11, 32 through Romans 12, verse 2.
Nažene poslanica apostola Pavla Rimljanima, 11. glava, početak od 32. broj do 2. broj iz 12. glave.
For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Apostle Paul ends the 11th chapter of Romans with this beautiful expression of wonder and awe of God and who he is. In the preceding chapters, Apostle Paul has described how the Lord has concluded that all in unbelief, both Jew and Gentile, and in need of salvation. And he describes in detail the beautiful plan of salvation that God had made possible through Jesus Christ. And as he thinks about these things and the joy that comes into his heart when he has an opportunity to express and share what God had done for him, it brings out praise, adoration, and wonder at God's mercy. And we think of the songs that we know, like How Great Thou Art. When we consider all the wonders that God has made, we look at the stars and we hear the rolling thunder. The power of God throughout all the universe is displayed, and our soul sings, How Great Thou Art. A place of worship, a place of adoration and recognizing how high and lifted up our God is and what he has done for us and how small we are. It's truly something that we can wonder. When we go through our lives, do we come to these points where we stop in our tracks and just thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy and stand in wonder of his grace? This is what the Apostle Paul concludes. And following upon the heels of that, Apostle Paul has many instructions for the believers Instructions for those even who are seeking to become a child of God. How to live. And what does it mean to be affected by the salvation that Jesus Christ has brought into this world? If it would have its effect on us through faith, what sort of lifestyle should we live? What are those fruits of the Spirit? How will they make themselves evident? And so we have two verses in chapter 12 that speak of, because of what God has done, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we would present our bodies, our entire beings as a living sacrifice, that for every single day of our life, that we would be available and that we would present ourselves before God to be ready to do His will in holiness, in a way that would be acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, a service to the Lord who, as we heard this morning, has offered us such abundance in Jesus Christ and gave unto us the most precious of treasures in God sending His only begotten Son for us. It would be our reasonable service that we would give ourselves also to Him. And verse 2 has two words, being conformed and being transformed. There are some children here, and they could probably teach us some things about transformation. Maybe they'll talk to us about it on the way home. You little children, how many of you in the springtime went to a pond or a lake and looked inside and saw these little black things with small tails swimming around, little tadpoles? How many of you took time to observe God's creation and to see things in the springtime? Did you catch any? Do you like to touch them? Now, if you go back to that pond or that puddle or that stream again, what will you see? Some places you might see a big bullfrog, something very different. And the kids could tell us a little bit about transformation and how thorough it is in God's creation when He shows us what He can do with His creative power. Now there's a transformation that is spoken about in the spiritual life. But what could the kids tell us? They could say, well, the tadpole didn't have any legs, and the frog, he has four legs. Tadpole lives only in the water. The frog is an amphibian. Lives sometimes in the land, sometimes in the water. Tadpole has a tail. Frog has no tail. This is a big change. And there's things that are on the outside of the tadpole and the frog that the kids could readily see. But there are also changes on the inside. Tadpole has gills, doesn't it? Doesn't breathe air. But a frog doesn't have gills. How does that change? It has lungs. Did you know that the heart of a tadpole, I believe it has two chambers. The heart of a frog has three. Much more than just the changes on the outside that are readily apparent. But God has changed that creature thoroughly in so many aspects. And the kids could teach us probably a lot more than that. Jesus taught the people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is a word about transformation. To change the way that we think about sin. To change the way our eyes perceive it, see it. At one time, it brought us pleasure. But through this transformation, We now see it's something to be avoided and be shunned. Also a transformation in how we live, how we walk this walk of life, what we practice. Thorough transformation. This morning, we read an account of Jesus speaking to chief priests and Pharisees, and in the audience of sinners and publicans. And he taught them all about the message of repentance and the thorough change that that involves. The chief priests and the Pharisees saw this message as something to be resisted because they lived a comfortable life. They thought they were pretty good, and they felt very good about themselves. But it was a very welcome message to anyone who was within earshot that was tired of the pain and the suffering that sin had brought into their lives. Anyone who was ready to be rid of that awful stain and the guilt that had come because of their own sin, and they knew it. That was a welcome word, because it meant that things don't need to be the way that they've been. You don't need to go back to those sins. How is that possible? The transformation that we read of here is the renewing of the mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is something that is done through the Spirit of God. So we present the word of repentance, not in a challenge that would be something that seems so insurmountable to achieve, but present it coupled with the reality that we need the Lord. We need to be transformed by the Spirit of God, and that with God this is possible. Oftentimes when we have services that are geared toward repentance and conversion, brother will pick, follow me, the Lord is pleading. That's a song about transformation. Turn around. That's what repentance means. Turn around from going towards sin. Turn around and follow the Lord. And the Lord is pleading while there is yet time. Come, I am the life, Jesus says. I am the way. I will provide all that you are needing. Trust in me. Do not delay. Repentance is a change that takes place with the power of God. And we receive that through faith, to believe that God's word is true, that he calls us to a life to be separated unto him for his honor and glory, and that he makes it possible and provides all we are needing to overcome any challenge. Ask a tadpole, jump out of the water. Say, I can't survive, can't do it. I would fail miserably. I'd jump up on the shore, I'd wiggle around for a little bit, maybe try to pretend like I have some life in me. Those of us who have been taken up, we have heard many testimonies of people who tried to jump out of their life of sin on their own, without the help of God, without being broken in spirit and contrite in heart, and coming to God and confessing that we need him, and realizing later, we fall so short. We fail miserably. And we needed to come to that point so that God would break the pride within us and that we would come to him with humility, expressing how much we need him. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's another word that's here. Be not conformed to this world. As we go from childhood into adulthood, that transition can have its challenges. And those who are going through that transition could perhaps teach us some lessons about conformity. There's a great pressure upon youth and teenagers not to conform to established norms, or not to conform to the scripture, but to chart your own course, to make up your own rules, and figure things out for yourself. There's a lot of pressure to do that. And yet this relationship with conformity and this idea, it's sort of a love-hate sort of things, because there's competing interests in the heart of men. There's one thing that says, go do your own thing and be your own person. But then there's also, I'd like to be liked. And I want to have friends. How do we figure out how to balance this? And oftentimes the conclusion is, well, reject the things that are old or time-honored and conform with the peers, because that's where the friends are. There's this push and pull against the idea of conformity. And it's challenging. But the scripture teaches us not to be conformed to this world, but to be conformed to the image of Christ. To be conformed is to be pressed within a mold, so that you come out the way that the artist or the designer intends. The mold of the world would have you coming out looking like the world. Have you coming out with the values and priorities that the world says are important. And once that image is impressed, that is the shape that it takes. And so the world would like all of these things without any questions being asked. To look like the world, to value things like the world, without any questions or resistance. But the scripture invites us and calls us to view the world and the things that it offers in the light of the scripture and what the scripture says is pleasing to God. And so if it needs to be questioned in light of the scripture, let the scripture be your guide. Not to be conformed to this world. How do I know if I'm being conformed to this world or being conformed to Christ? Scripture will make it clear. But perhaps one benchmark that we might use is, who do we look like? The clay that comes out of the mold takes the shape of the mold. Being conformed to this world in rejecting the scripture, in embracing sin, these are evidence of being conformed that serve self-interest, that please self. The conforming that is according to the word of God is serving God's interest, His will, and His desire. In order to know those things, we need to draw near to God and allow Him to speak to us, to take time with Him, to listen to Him, to receive His guidance, even as we heard this morning, regarding the good that we are commanded. There are many opportunities, but there are also many excuses. What is the Lord directing you and me to do in the service of God? In being conformed to the things that are consistent with God's will and His pleasure and His glory. This implies something. We could spend years and years putting together a list of specifics of what would be good, what would be evil. And that might be helpful for some, but we have sufficient guidance. We have the Scripture, which is given to us freely that we can open at any time. And in addition to that, the promise of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to instruct us. If we have an understanding that we have a living relationship with God whereby He gives us that guidance. Much more than a stale set of rules and laws that we could put on the wall. But the love and faith and life of Jesus Christ within us and God's presence guiding us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what we need. That is what the Lord calls us to. Do I know Him? Do you know Him? Does He know me? Does He know you? These are terms of relationships, of living interactions. And God desires for each of us to have that closeness with Him. May God bless His word.
We know that man is a great thinker. We can look in the libraries and see his restlessness and his continual pursuit to know why. He searches the depths, the universe, and he spends a life of looking for an answer to why. A lifetime is given. Centuries roll on. And the Scripture tells us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What God reveals of who He is, man doesn't want. But the things that God does not reveal, man wants to know. The brother prayed that we would be more like Jesus. That's what this means, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And as we think of the mind of God, His ways are past finding out. But yet, that which He gives us, Paul, as was mentioned in the prayer, Paul seeks those things out. There is all the power. To be in fellowship with His suffering, that's how he will know the power of the resurrection. That's what God reveals to us. And that's what we don't want. And so we don't want him. And we stumble and bumble through life. And do we expect to hear in the end, well done? When he is not in front of us, if he is not in front of us, who are we following? What are we following? The end is hell, destruction, death, eternal. It's amazing how we think of the brevity of time, how short our lifespan is. 80 years, 90 years. It's so tiny when you compare it to what? Eternity, forever and ever and ever. To be separated from God over what? Self. Self. We're going to let ourself get in the way. Where he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy, a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God. The only way we can do that is to follow him. Because that is what he laid out for us. And we see him very clearly in the scriptures of who he is. And it takes us back to, again, to what did he ask Peter? What did he ask Peter on the shore? Did he ask Peter, how could you have denied me? You saw my miracles. You saw who I was. How could you have? No, that doesn't help. He just says, do you love me, Peter? Because what I'm going to tell you now is a life. It's a way of life. Feed my sheep. What does that mean? Be a servant. Serve. That's greatness. That's power in the resurrection. Being in fellowship with his suffering. Paul says, he was pressed above measure in suffering. Above measure. And yet, God was his consolation. He was with him and he consoled him through that. And so he wasn't sorry for the church that was in suffering through persecutions. He didn't feel for them in that way because he said, rely on the Lord. He, as he comforted me, so he will comfort you too. Brothers and sisters, we have to be connected. He has to be in front of us in order to do that. His ways are past finding out. We'll never know him in that way. We'll never know him that way. But in the way that we can know him, to receive his power, is to be transformed. In other words, no longer be me. Peter could no longer be Simon. He asked him, Simon, called him by his pre-converted name. Reminded him of the greatness. Devils were subject unto Peter. And Peter, in front of a maiden, says, no, I don't know him. Devils were subject unto him. Service. Dear ones, when we serve our Lord, we serve one another. Gone is me. Gone is me. Any part of me that rises up, I am not serving him. I cannot feed his sheep. I cannot feed his lambs. I am not a follower of Christ. May God impress upon us these short verses that have so much meaning and weight and reveal his greatness, his everything, his omnipotence, revealing him, who he is, and calling us to be like him, a servant. Amen.